1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
May 5th, 1969. Finishing fourth in the Eastern Division, it appeared that the 35-year-old Bill Russell and the aging Boston Celtics didn't have much of a chance of continuing their dynasty. But they overcame the home court advantage of the Sixers and the Knicks to reach the finals, where they split the first six games against the Los Angeles Lakers. Russell, in his third season as Boston's player coach, is outscored by Wilt Chamberlain 15-0 in the first half, but the Celtics still lead 59-56. They take charge in the third quarter and extend their edge to 100-85 with 9 minutes left. With 5.5 minutes remaining, Chamberlain twists his right knee and he's soon replaced by Mel Counts. The Lakers rally without Wilt, who wants to return but is rebuffed by coach Butch Von Bredekopf. After the Lakers close to 103-102, the Celtics' Don Nelson bangs in a jumper high off the rim. Russell grabs the rebound and makes a block, and the Celtics win their 11th title, 108-106. Thousands of balloons that Lakers owner Jack Kent Cooke had up in the rafters at the Forum never came down in celebration. Well, what you don't know is that night, May 5th, 1969, I was a 15-year-old, actually a six, how old was I, 1969? Yeah, I was a 16-year-old junior, a 16-year-old junior in high school, and I was sitting in a parked car with a friend of mine, and we were about to go into a party that some girl at Alverno Heights Academy was having. Her parents weren't home. But I sat in the car, and I listened to that Laker game that night. Listened as the ball that Don Nelson shot up into the air actually hit the heel of the rim, went up in the air about 15 feet, and fell right smack down into the middle of the hoop. Now, what does it mean to you? Nothing. Doesn't mean anything. Shouldn't mean anything to you. Should be insignificant to you. But I vomited that night. I vomited all over my steering wheel and my jeans pants legs because it was one more Laker loss to the Celtics. I wasn't sick. I didn't have a brain tumor. But as soon as I heard Chick Hearn say, "And Nelson's jumper goes in," just a spontaneous projectile puking began. Why? Because that's the way every Lakers-Celtics series had ended for years. Somehow those guys found a way to win. Now, I realize that I have all kinds of fans of all kinds of teams out there, and I know many of you are Celtic fans, and I honor you. I think they're a great team. I think that, you know, let's be honest. The Boston Celtics did marvelous things with a lot of white players. You know, they just did. It was always like all these black guys, and here come the Celtics. They got two, three, four, maybe white guys on the court at one time. Maybe one, two. So I had the two black guys. There was like three white guys. Danny Ainge, Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, and then a couple of black guys in there. And not that I had anything, I wasn't interested in them because of that. I was amazed at it. A lot of us were amazed. Now, let's face it. White folks were amazed that you could do as good as they did with white guys. It's just something that we feel. It's not that we believe that blacks are superior at the game of basketball. And not that I really want this to devolve into a discussion of race. It's just sort of shocking. You know, like, well, look at that. See that kid Jason Williams. Remember that ball hand, like Pete Maravich. These guys could really handle the ball, and they're white. So the Celtics were always a fascinating team to me, and certainly a team that I learned to hate because I was a Laker fan. And why was I a Laker fan? Because I grew up in Los Angeles. There's no other reason than that. I'm not one of these guys, and maybe you know people like this, they go to the sporting goods store, they go to the souvenir stand, and they look at the colors of the teams. They, you know, I think I'm a Charger fan. They just point to a hat, and they'll wear that, and from then on out, they're the fan of that team. For me, there's got to be some kind of an emotional connection. It could be hatred. It could be a deep hatred, which is, for instance, the feeling that I developed for the Rams over the years. when they were the L.A. Rams, I learned to hate them with a deep, burning passion. And I would spend my $1,400 a year to buy season tickets to go down there and hate their guts. Because what did they do to me? Well, they did pretty much to me what the Lakers would do to me every year. Lose. Lose right there at that moment. That moment when it could be so beautiful. When that moment could be so cherished. Such a deep lung full of rarefied air at the Pinnacle Peak. But no. Rams would lose one year to the New York Giants when they had a running back named Dwayne Crutchfield. Then they'd lose another year to the Minnesota Vikings who couldn't beat anybody. And then they'd lose another year to some other team. Well, the same thing with the Lakers, only Lakers seem to beat everybody except the Celtics. You've heard of the Celtic-Laker rivalry. It's the most significant and is the most famous rivalry in all of basketball. It may be the most significant rivalry in all of sports. I don't know. I think maybe it is because of the level of excellence of both of these teams and because of particularly what those teams brought to basketball in the 80s when it was all but done for the NBA. The NBA was a really bad show with not a whole lot of people sitting in the seats on its way to basically closing for the night. And the 80s came along, here comes Bird, here comes Magic, and here comes the NBA back again. But the Celtics, no. And then the other thing, and I don't want to hit this too hard, the other thing that made the Celtics really tough to take was the fans of the Celtics, not because they were particularly vociferous, because all fans are very vocal, but they had that accent. They had that accent. They had that, we're going back to the Gadden thing, and you just, oh man. Wait till we get you back. I'll never forget the guy, I'm walking out of the Forum one night. It was 84-85 series, I forget which one it was, and I had season tickets. I basically white-slaved my wife, and I was able to get the money for the tickets that year. So while she was working for, I think it was a warlord in Somalia, I had tickets for the Lakers. Then I bought her out of captivity, and of course we divorced, but I was able to get the tickets because of the money that the warlord gave me for my wife's sexual favors. Now anyway, of course I'm kidding. I sat there and I watched as, yet again, the Celtics beat the Lakers in a 7-game series. That was in 84. And as I walked out of there, a guy walked by me with a green Celtic jacket, and he said to me, "We're going to win it in the Gadden." And it wasn't that he was a Celtic fan. It was he didn't say Garden, he said Gadden, and that's when all hell broke loose. I believe it was about, I think it took about 3 cops to pull me off of him. And I said, "I'm sorry, Mr. Auerbach." It was Red Auerbach who was the owner of the team, and everything was fine. You don't know who Red Auerbach is, do you, Craig? Okay, anyway, so that joke's lost on you, right? I attacked Red Auerbach. He said, "Gadden, never mind." So we could have another one of those series this year, the Lakers and Celtics, but they got to get by the Kings tonight, and, you know, I'm going to go home and watch that game by myself. But I was thinking about that. I was thinking about all down through the years watching this basketball team. Now, again, this is not about the Lakers, because I know you're as sick of hearing about them as sometimes I am. I'm sick of hearing about Shaq, and I'm sick of hearing about Kobe, and I'm sick of hearing about the Zen master, Phil Jackson. Terrific head coach. But keep in mind, I remember when Phil Jackson was a player with his big, dumb-looking afro playing forward for the New York Knicks. Oh, he'd get about 2 seconds of playing time a night, and then he'd go back to the bench where Pat Riley was sitting for the Lakers. But those guys make good coaches. Good players don't make good coaches. You want to know why? Because the better a player is, the more he demands of his players because he thinks that they should be able to do what he did when he was a player. Like Larry Bird, for instance. Good coach, but he was never going to make it in the long haul because he was demanding so much of his team. Or Norm Van Brocklin or anybody like that. I mean, he thought every guy that played for him ought to be a Hall of Famer, and they're not. But this Zen master thing, a little bit of that goes a long way. Because I listen to the quotes from Jackson, and while he's a very, very astute basketball mind, he doesn't sound like a particularly creative guy to me. He doesn't sound like a particularly quotable guy, as a matter of fact. But he's a hell of a basketball coach, I'll give him that. But I'm just as tired of hearing of them as you are. Problem is, I got this thing. I grew up in this town. I followed them from the time I was a little itsy-bitsy tiny kid, fresh out of the womb, till now, 49 years of age, filled with angst and all kinds of ulcers and problems with my colon because of what these guys have put me through. all those years in the 60s when I was a little tiny kid and I'd have the measles or the mumps or whatever, and I'd read the sports page and it would say, Lakers suck again, and I'd come down with another fever. You know, I was a sickly kid. You want to know why? These guys. Only time they started winning was when I was finally an adult. I'm in my 30s. I already was making my way in life. I had a career. I had a couple of bucks. I didn't need their help. I could have used their help back then when I was a sickly, puny little kid getting beat up in the schoolyard. And along come the Lakers. They're my big heroes, and they're getting their ass kicked every single year in seven to the Celtics. And on top of that, I go to school wearing yellow and purple, and I get my ass kicked for that. Thanks a lot, Lakers, for that forum blue. And the Lakers come out onto the floor. They're forum blue. Yeah, right. It's purple. Purple. And pea yellow was their home uniform. Still is. You know, it's just, let's get on our feet for the pea yellow of the Lakers. All right. Here they come. And then I Love L.A. over the PA system, a particularly embarrassing epic or a embarrassing era in the history of the Lakers, of course. We all remember those of us who followed them in those years, Dancing Barry. This was a guy that came down. He was a white guy. He was a white computer programmer, I think. He wore glasses, and he couldn't dance. And he would come down, and he'd try to dance. So basically, it should have been like, now a guy who's going to try to dance. Hey! And he'd come down and try to dance, and then he'd go out of there, and I don't know where. They'd stick him in a, they'd put him away in a closet and let him out for the next game. But I remember those days more than I remember the Lakers winning championships. So every time I see him tied in a series like they are against the Kings, and this is, by the way, Dancing Barry was Chris Pelton's father. Thank you, I forgot about that. See, every time I see a series, no matter what success they've had, I always go back to those days, especially that night in May of 1969, as I sat there with my mutton chop sideburns, my hair over my collar, a Pendleton shirt, a leather jacket, a can of Coors in my hand, listening to Hearn say that Nelson bounces it off the back of the rim, it goes up in the air, and oh, well, what do you know, right smack down through the middle of the hoop, and them balloons ain't coming down. Anyway, it's the one thing we have in common with our kids, ain't it? You know, my kid, my eldest guy, and me, and my father, we got nothing in common, the three of us. My dad, my eldest guy, and me, we have absolutely nothing in common except football. All three of us played it. My dad very well at the professional level. My oldest guy plays very well at the high school level, and I sucked. But we all watched it and enjoyed it. So it kind of, it bonds families, doesn't it? It bonds them together. The Lakers never bonded my family together. I'm out there 16 years old drinking beer and throwing up. But other than that, they bonded my family together. All right, so I'm going to go home. Nobody's home tonight. My kids are gone. My wife is gone. Everybody is out. Everybody's got a play date. Everybody has got somewhere they got to be. Maria's overseas. So it's just going to be me, the cat, and the Lakers. And I'll put on my pea yellow jersey, and we'll see what happens. And Janice, or is it Chris? I don't know which one of them will put on the purple skirt and cheer. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Well, then the other thing was there was an explosion today in the San Fernando Valley in Encino, California, apartment blast. And this was an apartment, and it was an apartment that blew up. Now, what did that make some people think automatically? You got it. Al-Qaeda must be blowing up in Encino. Now, it was a residential explosion, And immediately, Fox had it on, CNN had it on, MSNBC had it on, the Times of London was sending a reporter. Bob Villa was going to come out and do a home improvement show from, I mean, everybody was all over it, okay? Martha Stewart, you know, well, what can you cook in the middle of a gas fire, in the middle of, you know? Because the assumption automatically, we are on such pins and needles because we have got such a very adept and on target and refined enforcement and security arm at work for us here in the United States these days. I mean, the FBI, it doesn't get much better than that, does it? Have you been hearing what's been coming out of Minnesota? Let me tell you something, and I say this with the greatest of respect and kindness. That guy Mueller, fire him. Anyway, they got this explosion, right? So people automatically assume, that's right, Al-Qaeda's been storing explosive materials somewhere in Encino, out near a Starbucks and the TGY Fridays, and that's where they're holed up now. Al-Qaeda is centrally headquartered right near a sushi bowl. They're right out there, man, near a playground. What? You know, some people, you know, you hear a boom. Somebody farted, by the way, in my kitchen this morning. It was one of my elder sons, and right away, Fox had a chopper over my house. All right, the eldest boy farted somewhere down there. They're choppering over a house. Now, I know that Encino, here in the burbs, does have a high percentage of Middle Easterners. Maybe they were cooking. Maybe they were sauteing goat. I don't know. But every time a loud noise goes off, every time a boom, every time one of my kids cuts one of their now legendary farts when their mother isn't around, because I tell them you have to be gentlemen when your mother and your sister are around, and so they hold it or they walk into another room, and they think it's really funny, and they don't get the idea of holding a fart. I said, look it, guys. It's not very refined to just go ahead and let it go no matter where you are. Sometimes you need to hold it back a little bit and walk out to an open pasture, someplace where you're far, far away from flammable materials, and let it rip, baby, okay? You don't do it when your mother and your sister are around, because this is the thing that I'm trying to get through the guys' heads these days, and they're young enough to understand it. They're 35 and 33, and I think they're about at that age now. And I said, you know, try to be young gentlemen if you can. When you cut one, just wave it away from, you know. So they don't get it. Well, they finally do get it, and because Maria and our youngest daughter are not around this week, so now they're in the kitchen. And naturally, when you know, one of them went this morning, I don't know, we were cooking, and all of a sudden, and the next thing you know,
this is Shepard Smith, a loud fart somewhere out in the...
We got a chopper over there, Bob. What? Well, the fart was cut at 7:13. I don't know. It was loud enough. And it was a fart, you idiot. What do you mean?
Well, I don't know. It could be Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, it could be Al-Qaeda, man. What they're doing is they're storing up bean dip.
Oh, okay. Make fun of me if you want to, but I'm just doing my job.
Yes, you're doing your job. I forgot about it. That's the excuse that all you guys use every time you come out and cover somebody cutting a cheesy fart. You're doing your job.
Okay, make fun of me. But I'll tell you one thing, Henry. I'm making more money than you.
What am I talking to you for? You're on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm standing out on my front lawn waving them away. Get out of here!
I believe it was Phil Henry that cut the fart because he's just walked out his front door.
It's not me! It was my kid!
And he said something about he's holding his kid hostage.
Unbelievable. Hey, man, Al-Qaeda didn't have to do anything. Just every explosion will think it's them. Every time some guy blasts a hillside because he's putting in another, you know, 15-home tract, we'll think it's Al-Qaeda. If that's the case, man, they were doing a lot of blasting across from my house like 2 years ago, blasting out. They put in 30 new homes across the street from me. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? Where I live, somebody else wants to live there too? How dare they? So anyway, that's what happened today. And I said immediately, I looked at Janice, I go, you know what they're going to say now? You think it's Al-Qaeda did this? And we flipped on the news, and there it was. They've got it over the aerial shot. More helicopter shots of bullcrap. By the way, Fox, you don't have to have an aerial shot of everything, man. I know you got to justify the helicopter, but everything that happens, or everything that doesn't happen, it could be like a man with a lost bag somewhere in the middle of New York's LaGuardia Airport, and they've got an aerial shot of the airport. Well, where's the guy? Well, he's down in there. Why is it up in the air? I mean, why don't you get a camera in there? Well, it's just we like to use the chopper. He's down somewhere in that. 1-800-449-8686. This is the stuff that's going on, huh? Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com, philhendrieshow.com. Lloyd, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. How are you, Phil?
Good, Lloyd. How are you?
Yes, sir, I'm doing well. First of all, I want to wish you and I'd like to wish all of our veterans and all of the members of our armed forces a happy Memorial Weekend.
Absolutely, sir, yes.
Phil, every Memorial Weekend, I do send out Memorial Weekend greeting cards. I'm a veteran of the United States Navy, Korean War.
Yes, sir.
And a lot of the members of my old unit, we stay in touch, and I'll send them out greeting cards. I happen to think, and I might be alone in this, that what our men do in the armed forces is very important.
No, I don't think you're alone in that at all.
Well, hello?
You're on. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I was in the post office today, and I was mailing some Memorial Day greeting cards. And on this, the most sacred weekend, I think, in all of our calendar year, because it honors the dead. It honors the war dead, men and women, white and black, who gave their lives so that we can breathe the sweet, fragrant air of freedom. And as I am putting stamps on these greeting cards, there's a woman on a cell phone, woman standing there on a cell phone. And I heard her asking, I don't know who it was, but she asked, how many hot dogs do you want? Now, I will tell you something. On the most sacred weekend that our country knows in terms of honoring our fighting men and women, this, and I will be very gentlemanly about it, woman says to somebody on the phone, how many hot dogs do you want me to get?
Well, all right.
No, I know what you're going to say.
I'm going to say it's Memorial Weekend. People buy hot dogs.
You can go into a supermarket and talk like that. You could go into the local 7-Eleven or any of the other areas where the groceries are made. But I'm standing there putting stamps on cards to send to men who fought, some of whom were injured. I know at least three buddies got the Purple Heart in Korea. And here's this...
woman, I mean, what's wrong with...
It's just difficult for me to say. And there she is. Hi, hey. Yeah, hello. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Because she... how many hot dogs do you want? And I was so angry that I felt I needed to be moved to action.
And I don't get what made you angry about that. I mean...
This is Memorial Weekend. Are you a veteran, sir?
I'm sorry?
Are you a veteran?
No, sir, I am not a veteran. But there's nobody's... I am second to no one in honoring the work of our veterans.
Well, I don't think you could really understand what it is to be a veteran unless you are one. But I'm going to ask you something, and you tell me what's wrong with this. I felt like I needed to remind her what weekend... I'm so angry, I'm shaking.
Go ahead. All right, so she said she's obviously talking to a husband or somebody.
I don't know who in Jesus she's talking to, but I'm standing there about ready to slip into the mail slot a card saying, thank you for getting your arm blown off for our country, and she's on the phone saying, yeah, and how many wieners do we need? And I was so incredibly indignant that I went out to my truck because I'd been to the supermarket. And, sir, I think there are times that even extreme action is justified. And I had purchased some mustard And I had some hot dog buns.
So you had hot dogs, huh?
But I had the decency and the common courtesy to buy them in a grocery store and not talk about them in a post office next to a veteran mailing off reminders of a man getting his face blown to bits.
All right.
So I went and I got a hot dog bun, and I pulled my thing out. And I'm saying that...
Okay, all right, look, sir, I'm...
No, I'm saying this, sir, with as much decency as I can pull together. I put my...
You put your penis into the bun?
Yes, sir, I did, and I put mustard on it. All right, I guess you're going to hang up on me.
No, I'm not going to hang up on you. Is this what you did? What did you do? So you go out to your car, you get a hot dog bun out of a bag?
Yes, sir, I did. Yes, sir, I did.
You put your thing into the hot dog bun, and then you slap mustard on it.
Yes, sir. And I walked back inside that post office. Now, technically, this is not harassing, nor is this any kind of indecent exposure. It's a practice of free speech. But I went up to the woman, and I said, here, I got your hot dog swinging, and I showed her the bun, and I...
So you exposed yourself to a woman because...
No, sir, I did not.
You pulled out your thing and put it in a hot dog bun and put mustard on it.
Because she's in there saying, how many wieners do you want? Into a cell phone the day before Memorial Weekend.
And I still don't get what's wrong with that.
Well, you're not a veteran, sir.
All right, so you put it into the bun.
I put it in the bun. And then she said to me, and you got to listen to this because I have every right to do what I did next. She said I wanted a hot dog, not a cocktail weenie. Now, I blacked out. And
let me get the chronology. You walked up to her and you said, here's your hot dog, and you had your thing in a bun with mustard on it.
Yes.
And she said I wanted a hot dog, not a cocktail weenie.
You know, sir, if you're going to laugh, and I...
Sir, I'm sorry, all right, but you got to understand...
No, if you're going to laugh, it just disrespects the memory of every man who lies at Normandy.
Oh, come on.
Sir, I honestly...
All right, look, she said I wanted a hot dog, not a cocktail weenie, and then you blacked out?
Because I've got an... You don't ever insult a veteran, and I've got an issue with my anger. And I blacked out, yes.
Well, what happened? Did she hit you? Or...
No, I came to a couple of hours later, and all I remember, I'm just so...
What?
I had her wig in my hand, and in the other, my hand was still around the bun with my thing in it, and I'm just so humiliated. I don't know.
Well, you ought to be humiliated. It's something that a juvenile...
Well, sir... The fact is that no one stepped up to help me. No one recognized what she was doing. Everyone realized that she'd humiliated the memory of veterans, and I was making a free speech statement.
Let me ask you something. I've heard of people carrying picket signs, and I've heard of people making even performance art.
Well, that's it, because I talked to my daughter. She used to work for a theater in New York. That's performance art as a protest against that thing saying, how many hot dogs do you want in a post office on Memorial Weekend?
And all right, so you put your thing into a hot dog bun, slapped it with mustard, walked up to her and said, here's your hot dog, as a
performance art statement, yeah. And then she said to me, I wanted a hot dog, not a... God dang it.
Go ahead, stay with me, sir.
She said I wanted a hot dog, not a cocktail weenie. Everything went black. I woke up 2 hours later holding her wig and my thing still in the bun. And no one came forward to help. No police took a report. No one said, I'm sorry. I came home. I had to shower.
I would imagine.
The mustard that I used was Gulden's Spicy, which caused some rashing. And for my trouble, I haven't even gotten so much as a call from the VFW, American Legion.
Well, why would they call you, sir? That's going to be...
Because I called them and told them what I'd done, and I'd asked for a call from the post commander by way of commentary, and there was nothing.
I want to ask you something, okay?
Yes, sir.
Of all the veterans that are listening right now, how many of them do you think would be proud of you for putting your thing into a hot dog bun, putting mustard on it, walking up to a woman and saying, here's your hot dog?
I think a lot of them would appreciate the statement that I was making insofar as she had made, you know, she was talking about wieners in the post office.
Well, while you were mailing off Memorial Day cards to your buddies.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And then you woke up 2 hours later with so the lady is missing her wig.
You're GD right, she's missing her wig. And that's the only thing that I thought, and I sat down, and I was still holding her wig, and I looked at it, and I thought, by God, at least I did that much. She's running around out there with her big fat ass and her capri pants, bald. And I can tell you, I'm
you're proud of that.
I'm damn proud of it. I hope that bald witch enjoys her Memorial Day weekend now with her face full of wheat. I'm sorry.
All right, that's fine. 1-800-449-8686. I don't know how many veterans would consider what you did to be a appropriate statement of protest. I think that Memorial Weekend is intended for people to enjoy hot dogs, hamburgers, and yes, also honor our Memorial Day veterans and our war dead by raising a flag.
You're hemming and hawing. You're hemming and hawing.
I'm not hemming and hawing. I'm saying there's a woman in a post office in the middle of her busy day. She's asking whoever, how many hot dogs do we need?
Well, I think that she would have more respect because I was wearing my American Legion cap.
All right.
And her chopping down all those wieners, I bet you she looked like Telly Savalas in a gay bar. And all of the...
Yeah. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
Let's go back to a phone call. Lloyd, you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. You're a naval veteran?
Yes, a United States Navy during the Korean conflict. And I got discharged San Diego, California, 1953.
All right. Here is Jack.
Yes.
Go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
I'm almost to a point to where I don't know what to say. I'm just incensed at the fact that someone would do something like that and portraying to be supporting veteran or veterans affairs or veterans memories. I mean, that is absolutely ludicrous.
Doing what, sir? Are you talking about me or are you?
Yes, sir. I'm speaking about your actions, if you even can call them that.
Sir, I was in my naval uniform. I had come from an American Legion function.
And what exactly was it that offended you? That she was in a post office?
She's in a post office. She doesn't have the common decency to say to me, "I thank you very much for your service to our country." She's on the phone with her husband or one of her kids, asking them how many wieners they want for the
for Memorial Day.
Well, yes, sir.
Well, that's what people do on Memorial Day.
But she did it within earshot of me while I'm putting letters into the mail thanking men who had had their arms blown off and everything else in service to the country.
Let me ask you, at a loss. If this was at a memorial, if this was at a funeral, if this was at a procession, I might be able to comprehend, but absolutely ludicrous and inexcusable behavior.
What was? What she did, or who are you talking about?
I'm talking about everything that you did.
I took my penis and put it into a hot dog bun and put mustard on it as a way of making a statement about what she was doing to our veterans.
If you were my child, my friend, I would have put you in your room and punished you.
Sir, you're aware of free speech, I take it.
Aware of free speech, absolutely.
Right. That is free speech.
Well, that is technically exposing yourself. It's
there's
indecent
no technical
exposure.
To it. That's exposing yourself.
And then not
I
only
mean,
that.
There's no free speech.
No, sir.
It's not in a forum, sir, where you're in a theater.
No.
It's not under the please. I mean, this is ludicrous.
No, sir, I'm asking you to consider the fact. First of all, I had it in a hot dog bun. You couldn't see it. And I was.
All right, so why did it have to be your penis?
I said to her, I've got your hot dog swinging. And that's when she made what I thought was an offensive comment. And that's when...
Well, that's when it sounds like you attacked her. And the comment was, I wanted a hot dog, not a cocktail weenie.
I guess you think that's funny, huh?
Well, yeah, I do. Do you, Jack?
You know, I don't think it's funny. I think it's sad. It is.
I think it's what she said is sad, yeah.
No,
I think your behavior is inexcusable. I think, doesn't it liken something to conduct unbecoming?
Sir, let me tell you, I put my time in for this country during the Korean conflict.
Right, so did I, and so did I as a police officer.
You're in the Korean War?
And this is absolutely ridiculous. You would have been brought up on charges, my friend, if you were in the military still.
Sir, you sound a little young for Korea, so what conflict, what?
I didn't say, who said Korea? There were several conflicts after.
I was in Korea, sir. And no
one. And I appreciate the time you put in. Well, and you have disgraced your time by acting like a juvenile.
Sir, no, a juvenile. So she could sit there within 5 feet of a veteran and talk about how many hot dogs do I want to put in my face this weekend.
Excuse me. She didn't defame you. She didn't spit on you.
Yes,
she didn't call you a child killer. What did she do? She was asking someone about how she could celebrate the weekend.
No, she didn't say Memorial Weekend. She said, hey, how many wieners do you want? And I said, excuse me, I'm a veteran. How dare you? And she gave me a stupid look, so that's when I went out, and I did the only logical thing I could.
You put your penis in a hot dog bun.
If that's logic, then I tell you I am lost.
You know, Mr. Henry, you laughing at me on Memorial Weekend, if you were in front of me, sir, I'd put you down. I'd go to the next level.
Well, you know what? So you'd punch me out?
Yes, sir, I would.
You did the next logical thing.
Yes.
You put your penis in a hot dog bun, put mustard on it, walked over to her, and said, I got your hot dog swinging.
You're lucky her husband or her boyfriend or her son was not there.
Oh, I wish her husband would have done something. I wish.
As it is, you assaulted a woman because you woke up holding her wig.
That's right. And by the way, just so you guys, I guess you guys will get on me for this, but she called the next day asking for her wig because she got my number from the police report, and I told her that no, she couldn't have it, that I set fire to it.
I would like to be her attorney, I tell you that.
All right, listen.
When we were in foxholes in Korea, we would cover ourselves with tarps to stay warm. We called ourselves piggies in a blanket. And I was simply depicting a pig in a blanket in memory of my fellow comrades to show her that we're...
By putting your thing into a bun.
Yes.
Okay, I got to get back to the planet Earth now.
What's that supposed to mean?
Because I think that it has nothing to do with your Korean combat, putting your thing in a bun and showing it to a lady in a post office.
You calling me one of them priests?
I didn't call you a priest, no.
You're calling me one of them sick priests.
No, I didn't. I didn't say that. I'm saying it's bizarre, dude. And I think what the lady said was funny. I didn't want a hot dog. Whatever she said.
She said, I wanted a hot dog, not a cocktail. Well, now, see, you made me say cocktail weenie, and I didn't want to because it offends me.
Well, you've just offended yourself.
You bastard.
What a freak. And she calls the next day for her wig, and he said, well, you can't have it back. I set fire to it. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Henry Show. Our website is philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com.